All right. This is James Newberry, and I'm here with Ms. Jenny Gresham on Monday, February 10th, 2020, at her home on Montgomery Street in Marietta, Georgia. And Ms. Gresham, I appreciate you sitting down with me.
Okay.
Do you agree to this interview?
Yes.
Wonderful. So could you tell me your full name?
Jenny Lee Hill Gresham.
And what's your birth date?
January 31st, 1933.
What were your parents' names?
My father was Clarence E. Hill. My mother was Gary Lee Freeman Hill.
And what did they do for a living?
My father drove an 18-wheeler for Frank G. North Chemical Company that was on White Circle at that time, and it later moved to Old 41 right there at the corner of Old 41 and going into Bell's Ferry.
I see. And your mother?
My mother was a keeper. She worked for Sears and Roebuck as a cleaner. She worked for Marietta City Schools as a janitor at some of the schools. And then she just did she did work in the home, clean people's homes. And one time she worked at the place where they made fried apple pies over on, right off of, it's right off of Reynolds Street. I can't think of the name of the people that she did it for, but the lady had a place in her basement where she fried apple pies and sweet potato pies, and she worked there.
Okay.
And basically that's what, and she just did homework.
How many siblings did you have?
I don't have any siblings.
An only child?
I'm an only child.
So what was it like being an only child? Did you get a lot of attention?
Well, I got attention, but not, I don't think I got any more. Because I spent a lot of time with my cousins. I would go down to their houses and stay around, be around them a lot until I went to school, and then I didn't have that contact with them. But no, my parents were just normal parents that was back in those days. And in those days, parents were not the loving kind. They loved you, but they weren't the kind that was giving you hugs and kisses and all of this sort of thing.
So how did your parents show love?
Well, I felt like they took time out to get me to school. They gave me a good meal. They dressed me. They saw that I had what I needed. And they took me to church with them and places with them. They didn't just put me aside and forget about me. They included me in family activities.
I see. And where did you attend church?
I attended church at Liberty Hill Missionary Baptist Church on second and fourth Sundays. That was my mother's church. And then I went with my father to his church, which was Noonday Baptist Church, on first and third Sundays.
So did they ever go to church together, or did they go to their separate churches twice a month? How did that work?
Well, they went to their separate churches. I remember my daddy was superintendent of Sunday schools, so he went to his church. But there were activities that went on at my mother's church that he came there and visited. Now, he was a deacon at his church, so he spent a lot of time there. But activities that we had, he would visit. And activities that they had, my mama would visit. For example, they would have homecoming. They would spread dinner on the ground. So my mother prepared him a box with all of the food for him to take to his church. But then when we had it at my church, she prepared a box, and we took it to our church.
So do you consider your mother's church your church?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And where did you grow up? Where was your childhood home?
My childhood home was on Canton Highway. Sort of like angling from where Wheeler is. Wheeler's lumber company is. Mm. It was across the street. And it was down behind the Ward's home. J.C. Ward. And I can't think of her name right offhand. But they had a house, and we would go down behind them, and back out in the field there was a little home that they had, little house. And we lived in that house until it burned when I guess about 1941. One January cold, rainy Friday night, my daddy was trying to start a fire with wet wood and everything, and he had some type of incinerator or something to start the fire with, and thought the fire was down and poured some more on it and went up in a blaze. So after that, we moved to North Cole Street down here. It was a double tenant house. And then after we left there, we moved right there on Montgomery Street, right where it's a brick house there now, Miss Dorothy, the barn, not the barn, but Dorothy, what is Dorothy's last name? I can't think of her last name offhand, but Dorothy, lives right down there now at the spot. I could almost walk to the spot where the house was. Mm-hmm. So we lived there until I finished college, and we bought a little plot of land right before you get to the bank, and built, the Boltons lived up there in the big white house, and we built a little house down here, and we lived there until urban renewal came through, and Marietta said they were going to come up Cole Street there, and they were going to come straight across, and they were going to make that road straight and connect with this part, because there was a division.
I see.
You see, you'd come down, and then you'd have to make a turn and go this way and then right back. So they were trying to make, they said they were going to make it where it would just come straight across. Mm-hmm. Didn't happen. We had a deep, you got that deep curve right there by the bank now. Mm-hmm. But our property backed up to the New Way Lundra, which is that Douglas, it's called Douglas something mm-hmm. building. Is that there now? It's, what is it? Some type of, what are they? They house people there, I guess, that are in problems. And
like a halfway house?
Halfway house, something like that. It's Douglas and something Health Department.
Okay.
It's still up there right now.
Okay.
And our property went right up to the back of that fence.
And you said our property, so this is you and your mother and father.
Uh-huh.
And even through college, did you live there? Or did you live in Atlanta for
no.
college?
When I went to college, I stayed on campus.
Okay.
So I stayed there, but when I come home, I came to Montgomery Street right down there.
With your parents?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you said they lived sort of behind the Boltons. Are the Boltons a white family?
We were beside them.
Okay.
They were a white family. This is Cobb Parkway. The Boltons had a house right here. This was Cole Street right here. We had a house right here. This was our house. Next to us was Miss Parker. Across the street, Cameron and his family, then the Blackmans, Burdlus Blackman, and then Miss Octavia Carter lived there, and it was another house here. Miss Alma Lockhart lived there for a while, but then somebody else. And then when you got down to the street in here, I was telling you, it would go back across this way. That's Montgomery. And this house right here was where Lewis Reed and then the McAfees moved into that house. Then there was Gertrude Williams lived next. Then Lottie Devon lived next. And Addie Hammond. And up here was Miss Shaw. That took you all the way to the Lundra. And the Lundra was all the way back here. And they came all the way out to this. And our property went all, like if their fence was here, mm-hmm. our property went all the way back to right there. And their property went all the way back to that fence. This was the Boltons right here. And the Lindleys had a big house right up here.
So these are two white families. Are these all black families?
All of these are black families.
What was your relationship with the Boltons and the Lindleys, the white families?
She was very nice. As a matter of fact, they sold us this property right here. Because there used to be a pasture right down here. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was going to high school, it was a cow in that pasture. Which they were very, it was two old sisters that lived there, because I think the husband died. And they were nice as they could be. They didn't bother us. And when my daddy got sick, they could sit up here on their porch. And they would see my daddy come in and sit down here on the this outside picnic table my mama had. So she told my mama, watch him because he coming in, and before he come in the house, say he sits down to rest. But that they didn't bother us at all, and we got along very well, and the Lindleys didn't bother us either.
Okay.
They did Lundra. Dry cleaning in Lundra.
So did you, were there, or can you point to specific examples of racism you experienced at that time in the community? Was that a part of your childhood? Was it something you were conscious of? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I knew that we did not associate, so to speak, with white children, because there were none in our area. It was totally black, because you see, all behind us was that Johnson Street and Mulberry Street, and it was totally black. And so there were no children for us. Now, when we went down what we call Deco Hill, it's still there. Mm-hmm. All the way down there from the parkway all the way down to Lemon Street, there were nothing but white families. But when we went to school going down through there, they didn't bother us. They didn't say anything to us. One lady had a crabapple tree in her yard. And of course, we go through there and the crabapple on the floor, on the ground, we'd get one or two. But they didn't say anything to us and nobody bothered us.
Would you walk in groups or on your own to school?
Well, basically when I leave going to school, I might be by myself going down through there. We weren't afraid.
Did you ever walk in the square?
When I would go to music, I would go down Forest Avenue, go up, it's North Forest, and then go up Forest Avenue, and I would walk through the white community. Nobody bothered us. It was shady. And we'd walk all the way up to Cherokee Street and then go around the square and go down to Reynolds Street, where I went to music. When I come back from music, I would come back up Reynolds Street, go up that little street there where Wendy's is, to where Sears and Roebuck was, right there where the lighting place is, because my mother worked there, and my point was to get back there by 6 o'clock so I could ride home with my daddy when he went to pick my mom up from work.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So where did your parents do their grocery shopping, their clothes shopping, things like that?
My mother shopped at Florence's. She had a charge account there. You know anything about charge accounts?
That you could charge it and pay later?
Uh-huh.
And where was Florence's?
Florence was right there on the square, right next to the Strand. They changed it now, but when you used to go to Florence's, you'd go in and it would be a little area that would go in off of the sidewalk like this. And then this would be the door to go into the store. But they had plates here for display. Mm-hmm. So she went there. I remember one lady there was Miss Gable. She was a very nice lady. Because when I went to go to college, my mother bought me clothes there. And so you found one person who said something about buying all these clothes, and Miss Gable spoke up and said she's going to school. So my mama was able to buy, and then I was able to go up and pick out my stuff and charge it on my mama's account.
Do you need an answer? That's fine.
Oh, I hate to do this.
Call from Carroll County.
Hello? Hello? Have a blessed day. I shouldn't have answered it because I don't even know who it was. Then we shopped at Coggins shoe store. Coggins was over there by that where the First National Bank used to be on the corner, and right in there where, just below where Eddie's Trick Shop is. Miss Kane worked in there. And they had where you would go, you'd stick your foot in, and it made a picture of it to see the shoe size. So that's where we shopped there, and we also had a count there. Now later, Coggins moved to the other side of the square. I can't remember what's on that corner. It's some kind of little antique shop. Let's see, Marietta Pizza Place is right there.
Okay.
Go right across the street. There's another building in there. And then Coggins was right next to that one.
Well, let me ask you about Florence. As you mentioned, someone saying, you know, why are they buying all these clothes?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? What was said?
I think because of the quality of clothes that my mother was buying for me to go to school with. And she bought me nice clothes in there. If I didn't get mine, I'd have got a lot. But then she didn't buy maybe one of the cheapest clothes in there, but Florence's wasn't cheap anyway. But I think the fact was that, you know, if I got 4 or 5 pieces, probably they thought that was too many for you to have.
Who complained?
I can't remember who the clerk was, but the lady said, well, she's going away to school. And so her mama's going to do this. And we never had a problem paying her bill. She always paid her bill and kept it up.
So what I'm assuming is that they thought that was, seemed like a lot of nice clothes for a black woman to buy.
That's the idea you get.
Okay. So I want to start moving into the school years.
Mm-hmm.
You first attended schools Liberty Hill and Noonday.
Yeah, I went to Liberty Hill and Noonday church schools.
Tell me about those.
Well, when I went to, can remember going to Liberty Hill, it was a one-room schoolhouse that sat on the church property. And so you got all 7 grades in the one room, one teacher. So the older children sometimes helped with the smaller children. But all of your classes was there, so I must have been there a year. And then I remember going to Noonday because my daddy worked over there and his sister lived right in there. So it was more convenient for me to stay with them sometimes and get back and forth. We could walk up across the fields to the school. It too was a one-room school with one teacher, and the older children helped with that. And then after our house burned down out there and we moved to the city, then that's when I started to Lemon Street Elementary School, and I guess I was about third grade.
So you did first and second out at Liberty Hill and Noonday.
Somewhere in that area.
Do you remember the teachers' names?
At Liberty Hill, I remember having a lady named Miss Beatrice Dodd, and she used to live right down Lemon Street, and she had, and she ran a cafe on Lawrence Street for a while. And then I had a lady named Miss Crawford one year out there. And up at Noonday, it was Miss Robinson. I can't think of Miss Robinson's first name, but they were the Robinson family that lived on Rimmel Street.
What type of materials did you have to study with?
I don't remember that, just a board maybe, and talking. I don't even remember books or anything of that sort.
Would your parents have bought you like a notebook or something like that to use?
I don't think so. I don't remember having a book bag or anything like that.
Was the building, how was it heated in the winter?
With a big pot belly stove. You'd have the big stoves where you'd have to put, they'd probably put wood in it or something like that.
And what were the facilities like, the bathroom facilities?
Outhouses. You use the same, you have the outhouses that the church had. And at Liberty Hill, the church sat right here. And the school was right here. And the outhouse was back out there. And then I think the boys may have been on this side over the church over on this side.
What curriculum did the teachers follow at these schools?
In those days, I knew nothing about a curriculum. I think all that we were working on was reading, writing, arithmetic, as they called it.
Three R's.
The three R's.
And were those teachers professionals?
I'm not sure that they had what degree they had. I'm thinking that they had some college training. But I don't think they might have had been certified
right
back in those days.
Well, I know you came into town and continued. For other students who stayed out there, how many grades would they complete?
You know, I go back and think my cousins went to school. I guess I want to say that out of the group of them that I went with, I'm not sure. In my family, I'm the first one to graduate from high school. In my daddy's family, or my mama's family.
And that includes all your cousins.
That includes all of my cousins. I'm the first one to finish high school. I'm the first one that went and finished college.
So how did your family feel about you and your education?
You know, it was like we were poor, but it didn't dawn on me. When a time came, looked like I just went on and applied, assuming my daddy was going to come up with the money. And so I applied and got accepted. And they had a payment plan. So every month or so, you come down, my daddy would come down to go to the business office and he'd pay all my tuition.
So it was sort of as needed. If he had the money together, he'd pay for it, and he did.
Uh-huh. It was a certain, I guess, I imagine that at a certain time, you had so many weeks or months to pay before the semester was over. And when that semester was over, then you worked on the next semester.
Do you remember that your parents, even though they hadn't finished high school, did they feel that it was, I mean, did they tell you, you will? Or you kind of said you just did it.
No, it was me.
Okay.
I remember coming up saying, I will never do what my mama did. I had my own self-drive. I had an inner drive that pushed me to want to be a little bit better than what they were. And I realized that I would not be able to work in people's homes like my mama did. And I'll tell you why. Because one summer, this lady asked mama if I could work for her. Come out and clean up and whatever. And just go through her house. And I went out there, rode my bicycle out there to work. Well, I had a pattern. Go in, clean up the kitchen, go on in, do the bathrooms and the bedrooms and everything, come on around and do that, and then get her living room and then the porches. And one morning, I went and her sister was visiting from Atlanta. And she said, Jenny, if you'll go in, Lucille and I are going to sit here and have coffee and blah, blah, blah. And so if you'll go ahead and do the rest of the house, when you finish, we will have the kitchen, we'll have the kitchen clean. Well, I went on and did every other chore that I had to do and finished up and got back in here. And she said, now you can do the kitchen. I said, oh, no, I can't. Because you told me you and your sister was going to do that kitchen. And I didn't go back. She didn't tell me, but she told my mama. And I realized then that I would not be able to do that. Because once you tell me something, we got to follow through on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't sort of be at their mercy in mm-mm, that situation.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
We're kind of jumping ahead, but since you're talking about your career, I do want to ask, did you consider anything other than teaching?
When I was growing up, I was going to always be a beautician. I love to do hair. But somehow or the other, when I got into college, all of that sort of changed. And I wanted to do psychology. And you had to get approved by the dean to take the class because I was interested in reading people. I do it today. And he didn't feel that I was ready for it. And so then I went on and didn't take psychology, but I went on and went into social studies. And so I took those classes. And when I came out of school, I had a degree, an AB degree. And I taught high school for about a year and a half.
Where was that?
I taught, I first got a job in Commerce, Georgia. And I went there in January and I stayed till the end of the year. And the next year I went to Tocoa and taught 1 year. And every time I would go away from home, the invitation to teach here came after I was already in school somewhere else.
I see.
So that next year, I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to sit here and wait on them to call me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that call. Professor M.J. Woods, who was also my high school principal, called me to come work.
So you didn't miss a year of teaching?
I only missed, I didn't teach from June of September 1953. Let me see, I finished in June of 53. So September 53 until January of 54. That's the only time I missed.
Just the fall.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back, because we're going to come back to that. But I want to talk about your first year, so third grade at Lemon Street Elementary. Tell me about entering school there.
Well, I just went to school. We had double seats, and they were, excuse me, one second.
Sure.
Scott Lewis.
I thought this was him. This is. Hello, Mr. Scott. Okay, I'm in a conference right now, but I'll look for you at 12 o'clock. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay, well, let me know if there's anything I can do. Okay. Bye-bye. That's a friend, and he's 90 years old.
Is that Lewis Scott?
Yes.
I've been trying to get in touch with him.
Oh.
I thought it said Scott Lewis on the phone, but he was a teacher.
Yes.
And I want to do an interview with him, so maybe you can put in a good word for me.
Okay.
Because I've called him a couple times, but he wasn't at home.
Well, Lewis will tell you now that at 90, he said his memory isn't as good, but he can tell, you know, I can put you in touch with him. And he was just telling me that he had lost a niece.
Oh.
So he's not going to play bridge today.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, now where was I?
So, first years at Lemon Street Elementary, you were describing the desks.
Okay, they were, it was long seats. Two people sat on them. They had inkwells. You know what an inkwell is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we had inkwells and they were, the seats were screwed into the floor.
Okay.
We had big pot-bellied stoves. And basically, that's about all. We had recess. We had a playground outside. The bathrooms were outside. You saw the picture of the school. So if the school was right here, then my classroom was on the back side, it's third grade. And so it was a building that went down this way. Playground was right here. The bathroom was here.
Okay.
The girls on this side, the boys on this side. And so they would come in and have to, the janitors would come down early and try to make a fire and keep warm. And many times we were cold, and we'd all hug around the heater.
So this is that original wooden building.
Yes, the one that we were talking about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It had sort of, on the front, like a tower.
Yes.
And what was at the top of that? Do you know?
Nothing. We never went upstairs. Was the fourth grade classroom up there. And I never went up there. I just imagined it was sort of like an attic or something up there. We never got up in that area.
How many grades total?
Four.
Okay.
Because, let's say, we had the first grade. A first grade sat right here. And then the second grade was down the hall right here. And then the third grade was right here, and the steps was right here. And there was another room down here. Because you may have had more than one first grade. And then upstairs, I remember being upstairs for the fourth grade. And maybe a class across the hall there.
So four classrooms on the first floor.
I think so.
And two on the second floor?
No, it had to be, I would think, I'm thinking that maybe there must have been at least three or four upstairs.
Okay.
I remember going to the fourth grade over here. I'm thinking first and second grade was downstairs and third and fourth grades were upstairs.
I see. And you were there for 2 years, third and fourth.
Uh-huh. Before we went across the street.
Right. Who were your teachers there at the elementary school?
Boy, I can't remember right now. Miss Butter. Something. I can't remember right offhand.
What about the principal?
The principal was Mr. Woods, M.J. Woods.
Was he principal of both the elementary and the high school?
Uh-huh.
So he oversaw the whole thing?
Uh-huh.
Okay, what can you tell me about him in those years? What do you remember of his personality?
He was just soft-spoken. He was soft-spoken, but he was firm in what you had to do. And we called him Tiptoe.
Why is that?
Because he walked so softly, and they used to call him Little Willie. That was one of the things that sometimes the boys would say, Little Willie, because he was very short and everything. But we had Mr. Woods as our principal all the way from the time I can remember, all the way till we got till I finished high school.
So what condition was the building in?
It was just an old wooden building. I don't remember like a crack here or anything like that, but it was old and it was wooden. Everything in it was wood. And it was cold. When it got cold, it was cold because it was hard to heat with just those pot-bellied stoves.
What did you wear to school?
I can remember when, I guess I was third grade, and we walked to school. We didn't have buses. We would buy, you wear a dress, and there was a wool, what they called it, a jogging suit, or no, they didn't call it josh suit or something they called it, but then you'd have pants, wool pants, that would come all the way up to your waist, and then you had the coat that went with that, that matched it, and the hat.
So you'd be bundled up.
And you would, and you'd bundle up.
In the winter. I see.
And I'd walk from right here on Montgomery Street all the way across, go down the hill, and make that left turn on Lemon Street and be at the school shortly.
How would you compare the education you were getting there versus the one you were getting at the church schools?
Well, you know, I think it was probably a little bit more organized then, and you probably got a little bit more individual help because, you see, the teacher only had the one grade. But wherein at the church school, that one teacher had all seven grades. But you may not have had any more children, but you had different levels.
Right, all in the same class.
All in the same class.
What about the materials you used at Lemon Street?
Well, we had some type of books. They weren't the best, because my best recollection of books that we got was that we got books passed down to us from the white schools. Pages were missing, places torn out or whatever, no backs or whatever. We got the hand-me-downs and they got the new books.
I would imagine that was hard, especially on the teachers, with pages missing.
They went on and just like nothing. They knew that that was what they had to deal with, so they made the best of it.
Did you take your lunch to school, or did you eat there in the cafeteria or a lunchroom?
We didn't have a lunchroom in that old building that you saw with the towel. There was no lunchroom over there. You went across the street. You went over here and you ate in this cafeteria.
And did students of different grades eat at different times?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about any additional subjects you learned at the Lemon Street School beyond reading and writing and arithmetic?
I remember we had a geography class. A geography class. I never will forget this. In fourth grade, we were reading out of the geography book, and you could read until you missed a word. And you know, everybody wants to just read. And I got to the word, And I said, Islan. I broke it up. It was an island. I will never forget that. And that was the end of my reading because somebody else got a chance to read. But we just had the, I think came into a little geography classes or history classes then.
How broad was the geography? I mean, was it United States? Was it farther?
I don't think we got into anything as specific. Just whatever was in the book, we read it, tried to get an understanding. Because back in those days, more emphasis was put on understanding what you were reading. So those were more like it was geography or history, but your main point was not what was in there, it was reading.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of a student were you in general, the grades you made?
I was a pretty good student. And I don't talk about this, and you can cut that off for a minute.
You want me to turn it off?
Turn it off. I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so continuing on, you finished fourth grade at the elementary school, and then where did you go for fifth grade?
Across the street, right here.
So you're talking about the high school.
In the high school building.
Okay, so they had grades five.
Five, six, seven, and I believe eighth grade was in the library. Maybe eighth grade was over here with, by the time we got to eighth grade, you were doing the divisions of classes. Seventh grade stops over here. So, eighth grade classes were over here. This is where, in the library, is where we did our science class. The guy came out and taught zoology that year because they didn't have a real science program. But by the time we were eighth grade, you changing classes. The homeroom was over, the home economics was our homeroom class. And then we'd go here for our English. The next class here for our math, and the room on the end down here by the step would be our our social studies class. Miss E.M. Billups was my social studies teacher. Miss Tilly Simpson was my math teacher. Miss M.J. Fred taught me English. And Annie Pearl Jordan taught me home economics. And another teacher I had for Annie Pearl didn't stay there that many years. Banks. I can't think of her first name. She was a Holmes. Mr. Holmes used to run the funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter taught home ec a year or so, and she was my home economics teacher.
So you're gesturing towards this diagram you drew. Can you, as best you can, talking about coming in through the front door,
mm-hmm.
since this is an audio recording, can you describe to me the layout of the building? I know you've done it, but just sort of walk us through it, and describing what's right in front of you as you walk in, what's on the left and right.
Okay, when you walk in the front door, it was a double front door, and when you walk in straight across, the hall was the library. Okay, but if you went to your right when you walked in, you would pass the teacher's lounge. In the corner would be the English class. Go down the hall, next door was the math class. Right around the little curve would be the water fountain on the left, but then on the right would be the home economic class, and then the next class would be your social studies class, and then down the steps to go down to the basement and come under for the girls' bathroom and the home economics cooking room. However, when you come in the front door, if you made a left, the first place would be the office, the principal's office. Next door to the principal's office was the seventh grade classroom. Next door going down the hall was the cafeteria. Then there's a water fountain and a curve. And then back down the other, that little hallway, was the sixth grade classroom, fifth grade classroom. And that would be the steps to go downstairs, come back under for the boys' bathroom and the home economics of the shop. And then on the complete backside was the gymnasium. The stage where we did our plays. It also had the basketball goals in there, so you played basketball in there also.
And what was in that central area outside?
Nothing. That was just an empty space out there. And as I think maybe there might have been the cement bench or maybe out there, but we didn't have the time to spend out there. It was just a empty space in there, an empty square.
And I know that when you were at the elementary school across the street, you used the cafeteria in the high school.
Yes.
Did you use the gym for anything?
Yes. We had, we would come across once a week. The elementary school would walk across, come down the side of the building, and come in this door right here to get to the gym. We had the stage there. And, of course, all of the chairs would be seated. Now, we used the gym for plays. It was, at one time, the elementary did a play. Every class had a play on near the end of the school. And then later, it got to the place where we did operettas. And instead of each class, we'd bring the whole, we'd get somebody from every class and do an operetta. So we always use the gym, and it would be packed because all of the parents would be walking down and coming down to see it, and so the gym would be packed from the front to the back.
Who directed those plays and operettas?
The teachers.
Mm-hmm. And if for operetta, I mean, that's a lot of singing, so would students from different grades have to do tryouts?
No. The girl that was doing music, the teacher that was doing music, she would teach them the music. I remember that when we did those operettas, I did the speaking parts with a lady named Gwendolyn Glover. She and I, and we could take the children, we could borrow the children for a few minutes, and we'd bring them in, and we'd go over their parts, and we taught them to speak. And sometimes we would put them in the classroom, you know, get a little time to be with them, and we would go over their parts, and we'd tell them how to do it, and how to what they were supposed to do, and how the gestures and everything that they were supposed to use. And then we'd put it all together.
And were you an upper-level student then when you were doing that? With the younger students?
Was I an upper
lady? Or were you a teacher?
I was a teacher.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you were helping with the speech, the elocutions.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you went from 5th grade through 11th grade in that building, that brick building.
Uh-huh.
And what other extracurricular activities were you involved in at that time? Anything?
Well, we had May Day. And, of course, we did little activities out there. Wasn't as organized as it is today. I used to go down and shoot basketball because I wanted to play basketball. But my mom would not allow me. She was very strict. And she did not allow me to travel and go places with them. But I'd go down there and play around with them and shoot and everything in the afternoon. But I couldn't be a member of the team and thing because my mom won't let me go in any place.
I see. She just didn't want you going too far from her?
No, you couldn't go too far. She just didn't have that trust that you would, as a girl, you were going to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Elaborate on that.
They were always afraid that you were going to be out there fooling around with little boys and doing what the birds and the bees do. And she felt like if she kept me tight and close, I didn't get that opportunity to be flirty and doing things that would lead to a life that I would have to quit school or wouldn't be able to finish.
Did you know students who had to quit school for that reason?
Yes, I do. We had, when I was in eighth grade, there was one girl finished that had quit. One girl got married and had babies. And another girl, she quit by the time she was like in our 10th grade class. She didn't finish with us. We included her as a part of our class, but she didn't finish because she dropped out and had babies. So we had lots of girls that dropped out of school and had babies. Because back in those days, there was no homeschooling. See, it has come to the point now a lot of times that you've had children, girls who got pregnant, that they had homeschool and they went right on. But that didn't happen back in our days. You got pregnant and you left.
How was it viewed by teachers, faculty, parents when that happened?
It was just one of those things. They had them and you didn't come back to school. And you stayed at home and raised your child.
I see. Now, my understanding is that there were, beyond the local community, there were students coming from other areas to Lemon Street. Did you know students from other parts of the county?
We had, at that time, Cobb County had no high schools for black children. So we got children from Austell, they call it down the car line. Some students came from Ackworth, and a lot of the places, maybe out in the area around White Circle, back in that area, maybe some areas of our Liberty Hill area. The county bussed those children into Marietta. So those children caught a bus, school bus, and they rode to, and they put them off at Marietta every day and picked them up because the county had no provision for them at that time.
Or did you notice any differences between the kids here who lived in the city and the kids from the more rural areas?
Mm-mm. I didn't notice any difference. They came in and they just fitted right on in.
Did you talked about class differences. Did you ever observe that among your fellow students? Differences in you know, the amount of money their parents made, that kind of thing?
I don't think I noticed the difference. We were just, you know, it was like you knew these people had a job, but they didn't dress so much different from those of us who were poor. You know, and some of them might have had a few more pennies to spend than we had, but we didn't make any differences in, the children didn't make any differences. It's just that our parents didn't socialize. You see, your parents over here, and you in my class, but my parents don't have any socializing with your parents because they're in a different social group, so to speak.
I see. Do you remember the high school being called Perkinson High School?
Yes. When I was 11th grade, No, I was 10th grade. When I was 10th grade, it was Perkinson High School. In the spring of 1948, May of 1948, the class of 1948 graduated Perkinson High School. That spring, we ordered rings for the class of 49 so that they would be there when you finished in 49. And we ordered everything there. I'm almost thinking, I don't know where my invitations are. And if I could put my finger on my class ring, I could show you what I'm talking about. My class ring, even though I finished in 1949, and they said Lemon Street High School is where I graduated from. If you get my class ring, on one side is a P and an H, because when we ordered those class rings in 48, it was Perkinson High School. Mm-hmm. So you see, my 8th, 9th, 10th grade was Perkinson High School. My 11th grade was Lemon Street.
How did you feel about the name change?
It didn't bother me.
It didn't really mean one thing or the other?
It didn't make anything. It was just like, we went back and they said Lemon Street High School, and we just fell right on in.
Yeah, but Perkinson was a white school board member.
Yeah.
And I wonder, was that a choice? Who made the choice to change it?
I don't know. We weren't told.
Okay. One thing that's interesting there is you talked about 9th, 10th, 11th, or 8th, 9th, and 10th. What were those grades from 5th to 8th? What did you call the school you were going to, even though it was the same building?
Lemon Street.
I mean, did you just call it Lemon Street High, or?
We just went to Lemon Street Elementary School.
Even up through the 7th grade?
Yep.
Even though you were in the high school building?
You were in the high school building, but you were elementary school.
I see. Okay. And no, like, junior or middle school?
No.
So it's just elementary to high?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you were talking a little bit about the ring. You went through the 11th grade year, mm-hmm. and you graduated after the 11th grade.
Uh-huh.
But there were some changes made. There was a 12th grade added about that time, right?
Yeah. In 1949, September of 1949, it changed. Georgia had no graduation classes in 1950. Because they added 12th grade, so they stood still. So you go from a class in 49, and your next class is in 51.
So this is the group right behind you.
Uh-huh.
And they were thinking they'll be done after the 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
But then they got to go another year.
But then they had to go another year.
Okay. But how did people react?
They accepted it and went on.
Okay. So you graduated in the 11th grade year. What do you remember of the graduating ceremony? Where was that held?
In this gym.
Who spoke? What was the ceremony like?
You got see, if I had that paper, I could give you a program. I don't think it's in here. I think it's in that program, the thing that I let that gentleman have, where I had the high school, I had the programs and everything that we have. I don't have it here. It's in that thing that I let him see. The valedictorian spoke. The salutatorian spoke. They had the speeches, and I think we had maybe one or two of us had a little speech that they had written out for us. And even though we were not honored we did our little speech, and the glee club sang. Oh, I don't have it, but I had a program of.
I think there were some programs in there, but they were for plays, I think.
That was our play. And we would have you had a play. What we did, the Doolittle family. These are the biographies here. This is a copy of our diploma. Here's baccalaureate service.
Okay. May 22nd, 1949, on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I see you have hymns being sung.
Hmm?
You have hymns, religious hymns being sung.
Let me get back a copy so I can see.
Here you are, Jenny Lee Hill, honor student.
Mm-hmm.
There's a panel discussion on good citizenship, the aim of education, which included you and George Beavers, Susie Evans, Francis James, Victoria Slades, and Laverne Woods.
Okay, though we were not, So you see, those were your, and you see, I didn't have to tell you, but you look on there and you see who the salutatorian is.
Right.
And you see the valedictorian. But then the panel discussion with the honor students.
I see.
And then your valedictorian spoke and your salutatorian spoke. And so you see our flower and our colors, and I told you it was blue and white, and our motto, enter to learn and learn to serve.
So at that time, where was the athletic fields, the outdoor athletic fields?
Right there where the building is now, where the alternative school is.
It's right next door.
If you walked out this door right here, that was the athletic field right there.
So the high school faced the elementary school straight on.
Mm-hmm.
Across Lemon Street. When did they move the football field over to the Turner Chapel parking lot? Or what is now the Turner Chapel parking lot?
They moved it. I was already back here working, because when I started working here, it was still in that same area. It was in that same area. I can't remember exactly when they moved it. It would have to have been after 55 or 56. I was looking for my class. Okay. This right here was taken on the football field.
I see.
The football field was right out there, and this was the back part of it. It's a branch behind here.
And that's the class photo.
And this is my class photo.
So your class was about 22?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's move on to...
It says 23.
23 there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to college. So how did you choose Clark College?
I don't know. I think one of the teachers came, and it was young, and I think that's when my thing went there, because I had thought about going to Savannah State. We took a trip to Savannah State, and those mosquitoes were so bad that I said, no way. And I think my next contact was with the teacher that had been to Clark. And I, somehow or another, I don't know, it just fell into place.
How is it different living down in Atlanta? I know you were on campus,
mm-hmm.
but living in Atlanta as opposed to Marietta?
Well, living there, you had, we were in rental home, a home. Fred Morris rented these homes down here. And we didn't have a bathtub. We didn't have running hot water. He had made the bathroom in out of a closet and just stuck a commode in there. So when I went to Clark, you got your own room, you're closing your door. There's a bathroom, a shower, sink, hot water, cold water. So you and then you have central heat. So everything was different. We didn't have to have a stove anymore to heat the house.
It was nicer.
Yes, it was much nicer.
And where were the other students from?
Many of our students came from New Orleans. I had one of my friends came from Rome. Two of my friends came from Rome. I had one of the girls came from Milledgeville, Barnesville, and the areas around.
Did you ever talk about your experiences growing up? How were they different? How were they the same?
We just didn't. I think all of us just took it in stride, and it wasn't discussion. We just took what we got for the better and made the best of it and went on.
And so I know that you completed, you got your undergraduate degree at Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And then how soon did you get your master's degree? And where was that?
I got my master's. I finished Clark in 53 of June. I imagine about 8 years, because I taught and went to school. So I took a lot of evening classes or summer, went during the summer. We mostly went in the summer. Georgia had no provision for us to go to school. So they paid the difference between whatever the tuition was. You got a reimbursement. So I went there, and I think I finished, I must have gotten my master's somewhere around 1960. And actually, I don't think I went there to get a master's. I think by the time my advisor said something to me, she said, "What are you going to do? You got 60-something hours. More than enough for my master's." So we looked at what I had and what I needed. And I took the one or two classes and came out. I think it was 60, 61.
So you were teaching here and driving down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what is your master's in?
I got a master's degree in elementary education. But I also had enough credits that the state granted me a master's in social studies as well.
Oh, wow. So how much did that increase your salary?
A little. Not a lot. Because when I first started working, $200 a month was all you got. And if you were in the small areas, which were poor counties, you didn't get any supplement. Marietta supplemented your salary maybe, what was it, 15% of the $200. So you didn't get a lot. Now, I believe when, by the time I went to get my master's, it had come up a little bit. So your master's may have given you you may have gotten $1,000 more for that. And then they came up with the six-year program. And if you got the six-year program, then you'd get another supplement of maybe $1,000. I took a couple of classes on the six-year program that they had. And then I said it like this. I've got a family and I'm married. It's not worth the $1,000 a year for me to leave my family every day or two to go to school. So I took one or two classes and dropped out of that program.
The 6 year.
Uh-huh.
Where were you doing, or where did you start the 6 year?
I started it at Atlanta University.
Okay. So let's talk about the first school you came to here at here in Marietta. I know you taught at Commerce and elsewhere, but how did you, where did you start here back in Marietta?
Lemon Street, first grade.
Okay, where was that classroom in the building?
They gave me on the front side of what's down there now. Mm-hmm. They gave me a classroom, maybe down the hall. I can't remember exactly which classroom it was. It got crowded. First grade, we got crowded. So then they took me out of the classroom and put me down here in the teacher's lounge. They set up me a classroom in the teacher's lounge.
Was that near the front door?
Uh-huh. When you walk in the front door, the principal's office is right here. You know where the principal's office was? Right here.
I've been in this one, so I'm a little more familiar.
Okay, so when you walked in the front door, the principal's office was right here. Right behind the principal's office, you go down the hall here and you make a left turn, and the first door right here was the teacher's lounge.
Okay.
So they set up me a classroom out here in this area, and I taught first grade in there.
How many students?
I must have had 12 or more.
Was there another first grade teacher?
Yeah, there was at least two more first grade, two or three more first grade teachers.
You remember any of their names?
Miss Edwards was the main first grade teacher. We had two Miss Edwards. I think little Miss Edwards, we call them big Miss Edwards because one was tall. I think she taught first grade, and I think the other Miss Edwards taught second grade. And oh God, I see the lady's face right now, and she had a first grade over here. Can't think of her name right offhand. But the cafeteria sits right here, and there's a door, and then there was a classroom right there. You got a classroom down here on the end, across from the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Then you had another classroom, I believe, before you got to the teacher's lounge. And that was first, and then across from the office was the second grade classroom.
So when did you get your own classroom?
Somewhere later that year. And when they gave me a classroom, they sent, I think after the annex was probably built, they sent me all the way down the hallway to almost where you go out the back door to the annex, and I had a classroom right there on the left-hand side.
So that first year you were there, the annex was built?
I'm not sure the annex was built the first year I was there. It may have been. I can't remember it being built.
Okay. And that was, what was the first year you were there, do you recall?
The first year I was there, I came in 56.
Okay. So you started with first grade. What other grades did you teach?
I taught sixth grade. And then I taught fifth grade at Lemon Street.
They're in that brick building.
I taught sixth grade in the annex. I remember teaching fifth and sixth grade across the street in that wooden building.
What wooden building?
the old high school.
Okay.
I think I taught fifth. I taught sixth grade over there. Had to be 2 years because I had a classroom over here and I had a classroom over here. And that might have been when they were building the annex. Okay. Maybe I was over there, reason I didn't see the construction. I taught sixth grade over there. And then when they finished, then we went back across the street to the annex.
So what is this wooden building you're talking about?
The main building that we was, the one I just showed. This one.
Is that not a brick one?
Yeah, it was brick, but inside it was wooden.
Oh, okay.
So much wood. I called it the wooden building.
Okay, so you went over there.
I went over there, and they had done some remodeling here because I remember having in 60, probably about 61, I had a classroom right in here. And 1 year I taught right here in sixth grade. So
you were moving around a lot.
Uh-huh. Moved around.
So you're teaching there. You're teaching different grades up and through the 1960s. Let me check my time real quick. Make sure we're doing okay. What did you know about local efforts at that time to integrate the schools?
We didn't have any. I didn't hear. Well, let's go back. I think maybe 64, 65, somewhere in there. They started token integration. They moved Ann Mack, was one of the teachers at the Lemon Street, and they sent her, to Hickory Hills or Westside one of those schools. And then later, I remember they moved Lois Phillips, and they sent her to Pine Forest. They took what was her name?
Jeannie Carter.
Jeannie Carter. They sent her over to another school.
I think she went to Hickory Hills.
Amanda Weems, they sent her to Westside.
How did they choose them?
That I don't know. Miss Swain was working. What was Miss Swain? She was the counselor at the high school, I believe, at that time. And I think she kind of worked a lot with them and Lemon Street. I never will know how they chose the people to move. I don't know whether they got permission, talking to the principals to move people or whatever. But I probably was one of the last ones to be moved.
Were there conversations with those teachers who were leaving? I mean, what sort of feelings did they express about leaving and going to a white school?
They accepted it and went on because that was a job. And that's how I felt about it.
Did they have a choice?
I don't think they had a choice. This is what we're doing, and this is your assignment. And whatever your assignment was, that's where you went.
So this effort sort of picked up and the teachers were going to other schools, what was your expectation for the Lemon Street schools? What did you think they were going to continue on, and did you think you'd eventually have to leave to go somewhere else?
I don't think that was even a discussion. I think it was just, this is where you are, this is what it is, and nobody, you didn't think anything about it. I might have thought, oh, they moved her, and there she's over this and this is that school and that school. And like I said, I was not moved until 67. And I remember Miss Edna Lee saying to me, they sent me to Park Street to teach fifth grade. Woody Woodruff was the principal that year. He came here new. And she said, well, It was hard for me to get you, but I finally got you. And it was like she was saying, the principals didn't want to let you go. Because at Lemon Street, when I was in the annex, very strict, I could leave my class and at that time take a group of children to the health center and sit with them while they're there, and my class did what they were supposed to do. The principal might walk by just to check on them, but they went on with their work, whatever assignment they had. And we didn't miss, and they didn't have any discipline problems out of them while I was gone. So I thought maybe because of your strength and what you could offer them, they didn't want to lose you for the help that you were giving them.
I see. So how did you learn that you would be going to Park Street?
I did summer school during the summers, and we did summer school at Park Street. And that particular day, Miss Lee was there, and Woody came in, and he opened his mouth and said, I'm glad to have you on my staff for next year. And that's how it leaked out, before they told me officially that I was going.
How'd you feel?
It's okay with me. It didn't bother me.
Did anything change about your salary or anything like that?
No, nothing changed about your salary.
Who was Edna Lee?
Edna Lee was the counselor at the Marietta High School.
And was she black or white?
She was white.
Okay, so you had communication with her about these changes, is what you're saying?
Only that one time when I was when I was doing summer school at Park Street and she was over it. See, that's when we got air conditioned. They put the window fans in and window air conditioned over at Park Street because we were using that building for teaching summer school. And of course, Mrs. Lee ran the summer school program. And I got a little closer to her because I worked summer school every year.
So were your interactions with some of these white teachers good, bad, in between?
I felt like I had good, they accepted me and I didn't have any problems. I felt like I was just one when I went into Park Street. Miss Mitchell, can't think of the little lady, and it was the girl that taught fifth grade with me, Ann Horn. And Ann and I, we were just bonded. And I didn't have any problem because there was seventh and eighth grade also downstairs at Park Street. So Mr. Bass, Miss Crawford, they were just, it was just like, hello, how are you? And we went on, and I didn't have any problems.
What percentage of students at Park were black?
I would feel that maybe 50%. They didn't have a lot of black students there. They had some. There was one guy that stuck out when my mind came, because at that time you had the students coming in from other countries. I never will forget him. He came into fifth grade with lack of I didn't realize it was that late. His name was Otho Valdez. And I read a big article about him in the Marietta paper here. And I found him. He's in Florida, sort of in the mysterious field. And of course, he told me that he was going to come see me when he came to see one of his friends, and I hadn't seen him yet. I ran into his note not too long ago, and I said, I need to call that young man, because he and I, it was so funny back then. He'd say, me so-and-so, me so-and-so. And I said, okay, I'm going to break you from this. I said, every time you say me, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder. And he said, ah. And then that's how I taught him the difference between me and I.
Right. So you were mm-hmm. teaching him English?
I taught him everything in fifth grade.
I see. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm moving towards the end, so I think we can finish.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I got, it's, that's clock a little bit fast. I have to be where I got to be at 1 o'clock.
Okay. All right. We have about 8 minutes more on this. So how long did you teach at Park Street?
I was only there 1 year. I got pregnant and had my baby, had my little girl in November of 69. And when I left there, Mr. Kemp, Henry Kemp was principal, superintendent, and he said, the first available job will be yours. And in December of 69, Rosemary Strickland was teaching third grade at at Pine Forest. And her husband got transferred. And I got her job. And then I stayed at Pine Forest until I retired in 1988.
So, overall, how do you think that the school system handled the integration process?
I felt like it went pretty smoothly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And for the schools on Lemon Street, I know that some of them closed fairly quickly after the schools were integrated. What was your feeling about those schools closing and the high school actually being demolished?
Mm-hmm. Well, my thing was, I think I was able to just accept it as change and go right on, thinking that most of these things will be for the better. And you take it and go on with it just like that.
What do you think is the legacy of those schools, those segregated schools on Lemon Street?
I think you find most people will tell you that when they feel that they got a different type of teaching, I think the way the discipline for children was different, and I think they felt sometimes that the black teachers were a little bit more interested in their growth, from what I can hear from some. And then, you know, but as time goes on and the changes come, everything smooths out.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I don't know of anything. I'm just answering your questions to the best of my ability.
Well, I appreciate it very much, Ms. Gresham, and we'll go ahead and conclude there.
Okay.